Mojo.com. I'm your announcer, Nick Kingston of SuperstarCons.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Captain Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, Condiment Ali of ContinentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Teachers and Fruit Workers, Laura of TheGoodLuckLady.com, Oklahoma. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as designed and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ollie. Miss Cat?
Hi, thank you for that sweet introduction, Miss Tammy Lee.
Thank you.
Hello, all. Just going to start off the show with a little quick announcement. Facebook seems to be rejecting our ability to post our normal shares about the show being on the air. So if y'all want to go to your profile right now and say that we're on the air, we'd really appreciate it because Facebook won't allow us to do it. We don't know why. And it's not just us. Apparently, Nagashiva called Blog Talk Radio, and they've been getting calls all afternoon. So Facebook is not talking to Blog Talk Radio today. So at least
we're posting as pages or something.
Exactly. It's posting as pages is not working. You can post as a profile. So all my friends and neighbors, just go to your profile page and put it in. If you have nothing else to put in and you don't want to go look up what the Blog Talk URL is that you're at, you can post luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. Hash mark, schedule. That gets you to the same place. All right, that's just a plea for help in this technologically challenged afternoon. So, it's always something, folks. It's always something. But we've been having a great day otherwise. My only news to report that is what's been going on around here is I've been working on the Lucky Mojo Forum. And as some of you know, we have thousands of members, hundreds of thousands of posts at the forum on how to do spells, what spiritual supplies to use, to post about different religions, deities, archangels, angels, saints, you name it. Everybody's got a question. We've got the answers. We have a wonderful group of moderators, many of whom are members of AIR and some of whom are not, some of whom are just our real good friends, people we see here in the chat for Blog Talk Radio, like Papa Newt, one of our best moderators, and, of course, Miss Tammy Lee, Aida Severini, some of the people who are moderators, Aura LaForest, we see them up here regularly in the Blog Talk Radio chat. Well, they've been helping me, and, of course, Conjurman Ali, now he's another moderator. We've been compiling and, I guess you could say, merging the topic threads. We've had, at one point, we had 11,000 plus topic threads, and no one could find, you know, their topic because everyone would start a new topic. And newcomers come in and they've got a desperation thing going on, and they've just got to post on this subject, which they think nobody else has ever posted about since 2009 when the forum started. And gee, it's about their boyfriend and them breaking up and they want him back. And they don't. They don't realize they're the 3,000th person posting on this topic, so they start a new thread. So just by merging these into general topics, reconciliation, getting a job, how to do a job interview, what magic to do for a job interview, posts on eclipses and retrogrades and how they affect your spell work, days of the week, how they affect your spell work. We're just going through. Oh, and I got to mention Joseph Magnuson. Big shout out to him, too. We've been going through and compiling these into sort of standard topics. And we've gone from over 11,000 different topics down to in the 6,000s now. We're not down to 6,000, but we're getting there. I think we're in the 6,600s at this point. So we're working on it real hard. And if you haven't used the Lucky Mojo Forum, you might want to drop on over and register a little account there. It's free and anonymous if you want it to be. You can use your real name. We're not going to stop you. And check out what's been going on. You don't even need to register to read it. But if you want to post, please do register. And then if you don't make a post for 30 days, your account gets deleted. But that doesn't matter. You can still read the thing. But we only want people who are members of the forum to be people who have at least made one post. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing it for 2 days straight and haven't even been on Hoodoo Psychics because all I've been doing is merging posts. And that's it for me. What about you, Ollie? What have you been up to? What's new in your world?
Oh, the wonderful world of the Conjure Man is always busy, and I'm happy to hear about updates from the forum. As you know, I actually I love the forum a great deal. It's a great resource, and it's where I got my start into Lucky Mojo back in the day is through the forum.
That's
and
right.
And how I met you, and how I actually met you, and build our friendship from there. So it is an absolutely great place and somewhere I highly recommend, because it's not just a forum to post questions, but it's a community where you can meet friends, meet people in a similar situation as you, where you can teach one another and work alongside one another as you learn how to use the great products that we all love. So I do highly, highly recommend the forum. This past week has been super exciting for me, very busy, lots of work. School is starting up, and we're fixing the curriculums and getting ready for that. So I've been balancing that between, you know, my root work, lots of new clients, lots of interest in geomantic life readings, which are going through day by day, still working on the pages that I'm going to be posting up soon, and I should let you guys know when it's up. But I've also begun a couple of writing projects, which I won't say go into too much, but hopefully if I continue with my usual plodding, unstoppable Taurus manner, I should have those out within the next couple of months. But exciting stuff, lots of development, which I'll have more news about in the coming weeks.
Okay, well, we always like it when you kind of give us one of those teasers.
Yeah, I like a little bit of a teaser, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, today we have a wonderful guest. She's been with us before, and so glad to have you back. This is Flora from Oklahoma.
Hi, Kat.
Flora is a member of Hoodoo Psychics and a member of AIR. And how are you doing? What's going on in Oklahoma in Conjure Land?
Today was a beautiful morning. The hoot owls were out. I had a big horned owl in the backyard, and I'm getting ready to pull my harvest. I usually try to do it this time of year before everything really starts to get too moist. So I pulled out all my drying ladders and drawers and all of that today, cleaned them and got them ready. And I have well over 250 drawers ready to get to drying. So I'm excited. I have yellow dock I pulled today and May apple. It was just amazing. So I spent the day outside. And I broke the fingers of my right hand earlier this month, and so today was really very therapeutic to get out and work in the yard and get my hand moving again. So it was nice.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, we also, now is the time we're harvesting yellow dock too. That's a plant that a lot of people don't know what it's used for, and I'm just going to throw a little idea about yellow dock out since you mentioned it. One of my favorites, it was used in the old days to make doll babies. You know, people think of a doll baby as a stuffed cloth doll or a waxen doll or a clay doll, but there are many ways to make a doll, and one is out of twigs and one is out of roots, and yellow dock has a history of being used in the Southeast and East Coast Native American tribes for making love dolls, specifically. Not enemy dolls, love dolls. And you need these long pieces of yellow dock, and you can make a dolly out of it. You can also, when you dig it out, you can carve a little on it if you want to, and it'll dry with that carving on it. Many ways to make a yellow dock doll. They can be used for money and other kinds of spells, too. But that's just one of those things that I always love to know about. Yellow dock just has this reputation for being a good, strong root to make doll babies.
Yeah. I see a lot of people bring me older things that have yellow dock root in them, like old charms that have worn off, or they have a mojo bag that's got big holes in it they've carried around for years. And I think that locally it is a popular root to use because we have plenty of it. It's to the point it's almost a noxious weed. So
yeah.
I have always made it kind of as a tincture to wash your cash register with and your doorknobs. And I've even used it to for people who are on-the-road salesmen, I use it to wash their door handles and their steering wheel so that they feel guided to go in the right places to help do their work.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
yeah,
that's
it's a very lucky route, and it's just one of those things that I think it's so common, but it has not been, you know, in these modern, you know, what I call neo-hoodoo people, they don't remember some of these common old things. And yellow dock, if you don't know what it is, you know, look it up at Google Images. You'll recognize it right away by that kind of rusty color. At this time of year, when it's ready to dig, it turns a rusty color that is like no other plant at all. There's nothing else like it. You can be nearsighted, and you could be half blind, and you'd recognize yellow dock by the side of the road. And it loves to grow in waste land. In other words, not perfect soil that's been perfectly watered. It's very tolerant of waste land, and so it'll often grow by the side of the road. And
I like to use those types of herbs and roots as resilience. They help build people's resilience to the little hits in life and to the tough times that come along. And this is one of those times of year when it seems to be getting tough for everybody because they're start planning for Christmas and school started again. So I find myself using – I'm very seasonal with the way I do my work. And so when I start pulling this and getting it ready to dry, I start thinking about how many clients are going to be calling pretty soon saying, I need help through Christmas and that type of thing. So I start looking for those types of roots and herbs. But that's what I was pulling this morning out across the back 40.
And, Miss Michael in the chat room said, I just Googled yellow dock and clicked on images, and I do believe you've got it growing within walking distance. Yes, you do, Miss Michael, because you live in Willits, California. And I'm telling you, between Willits and Forestville, I don't think you can go a half a mile unless through a rural area, without finding yellow dock grown by the side of the road. And if you want more of it closer to you, now's the time you go pick those little weird little seeds it has and just strip them. You can just grab the whole stalks and bring them home with those and then strip those seeds all around at the edges of driveways, in the orchard, any place extra like that. You'll soon find yourself with a huge colony of yellow dock. I promise you. It's also edible.
Yeah.
If you're down to it and have no other food, it can be eaten. It's not the best food, but it can be okay.
I like that qualifier.
Well,
yeah. Well, it's kind of woody if it's too
woody.
Old.
It's woody. But it is not. It is a starvation food that people have used to survive on. Not at this time of year when it's all hard, but when it's growing in the summer. It is a starvation food that you can eat.
And the spring sprouts and stuff. It kind of reminds me of people who eat poke
right.
plants. You can't eat the pokeberries. You can't eat pokeplant, but the little sprouts in the springtime, you make poke salad.
And yellow dock can be boiled as greens if you're in starvation times. Do not neglect that plant. That's always good to keep around because you never know what's going to happen. I always
think
of my tales my mother told me about living as a child in the aftermath and during World War I in Germany. They had no food, and they were from a very wealthy family, well-to-do family, and she said they'd go out with her mother, and her mother had a little book on botany, and they'd wander around in the vacant lots in Munich, and her mother had a little little trowel, and she'd dig up these little roots and bring them home that she identified from her botany book. And that's starvation time. So they survived, you know, they made it.
My poor field guide looks like it's been through the ringer. I think I've had it since I was about 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Christmas
mm-hmm.
gift. And I recommend everybody get one because you would be shocked at what you have in your backyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, well, yeah, I totally encourage
another
that.
Another one that I like as far as not quite starvation food because it's pretty darn good is lamb's quarters. And you'll find that
mm-hmm.
all over. Lamb's quarters, good food, good greens. When you make a mess of these different greens mixed together, you get a nice little dinner.
Right.
All right. Well, we ought to, Nagashiva posted in the chat room, our panel discussion is next, or maybe starting any moment, ? Ain't he subtle? All right, baby. We'll get to the panel discussion. So we have Flora with us, and Flora, known as the Good Luck Lady, and so we're going to be talking about good luck, and this is Flora's specialty in life. So start us off, Flora. Tell us some things about good luck. First of all, let me start you with a question.
Sure.
What about a person who has had, you know, a run of good luck, and then suddenly everything turns bad? How do you turn their bad luck back to good again?
Well, a lot of times I ask them if they know the exact date. And you'd be really surprised about how many people can give you about the time that their bad luck started. And I
mm-hmm.
try to pinpoint whether it was because a jealous person shot him the evil eye, because that'll
mm-hmm.
really strip luck quickly,
mm-hmm.
or if it was on their own doing, where they have just procrastinated to the point that now their bad luck has caught up with them. They've just put it off. And usually, let's say if it's someone who's received the evil eye, because of a jealous coworker, or a lot of times it's family, because they've won a scratch off or a lottery ticket, something like that, and then suddenly, you know, life's been good, and then slam, it goes bad. I tell them, well, first off, let's, you know, isolate the situation, you know, with the family member, try not to talk to him for a little while, and let's do some cleanses. And I have a lot of people do the 9-day cleanse that you have, the
mm-hmm.
9 herbs for 9 days. And
mm-hmm.
that really is a great fix for people who've had a sudden turn of bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I have a lot of people do that we're not sure, they're not sure if the day their bad luck started, it just kind of seemed to accumulate. I have them write a lot of lists, and usually we can pick out what it is that's happened. Sometimes it's a bad choice that they made, and that whole choice drove their bad luck straight up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been procrastinating, I do a lot of magic with blue skull candles to get them to quit the procrastination and focus on getting their goals and their tasks done, and suddenly it's like the road was opened. And then I encourage them to do an open road spell, because then it's like gangbusters right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So we I really do take a good look at what's going on with them. I have a lot of clients, I encourage them to do a foot wash while they're in the middle of trying to decide what their bad luck might have been or what the trigger was for it. Because that clears their path, so they can walk a little bit clearer path and clean up their act. Because a lot of times, it's like I said, it's bad choices that they've made,
mm-hmm.
and they really don't want to face the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So
now,
where
I come out of a Van oil or Chinese wash were the biggest things for turning bad luck to good when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I still think that they are to this day. Van oil and Chinese wash are very similar ones. They're just different, but they have different names. But one came out of New York, that's Chinese wash, and one came out of New Orleans, that's Van oil. But they're essentially the same type of thing, except for the Chinese wash is a detergent, you know, liquid soap-like product. Van oil is an oil, but you could also make a Van perfume. You can make a Van bath crystal. You can make them any which way you want to, incense or sachet. And Van was always used when I was young by storekeepers to scrub their front of their doorstep. If they'd had a bad day, you know, like let's say they were used to drawing in so much money a day, you know, to make their rent and a lease or whatever and to pay their employees, and they didn't make it one day, they would then scrub with Van to change their luck from bad to good and make up the money they lost and get the more money. Same thing if you had a boy who always asked you out every Saturday, and then he skipped a Saturday. Well, on the Saturday before he was going to skip again, or Friday before he would have asked you, you can bathe with Van Van or put a little Van Van oil, change your luck back to good again, he'll ask you out again. Those were things I was taught when I was young.
I have a
let's get Ali in on this too. We want to give him a chance. We're all going to go around. Ali, what do you do for changing bad luck to good?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned Van Van. Van Van is a great product. A lot of people also don't recognize that Van Van has an empowering element too. So it gives you a good boost in the right direction. So not only does it turn things around, but then it kind of propels you forward, which is really great, especially in terms of luck. I was taught that whenever your good luck turned to bad, that the devil was meddling. And this is very common coming from Virginian conjure, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, that area. And so it was always told that you need to tie down the devil again in order to ensure
mm-hmm.
that your luck turned mm-hmm. right back around. And so we use a lot of things like knot magic, and especially things like devil's shoestring that was often carried either bound up and hung. A lot of people hear about burying it up into your driveway, which is great and excellent, and I've heard of that too. But we're also told that devil's shoestring can be hung up, that you bind it up and you hang it by your door so that it ties up the devil as he tries to fly in or come through your house. Or carrying it in your mojo bag, in your luck mojo bag. And devil's shoestring is often used in gambling luck, but what people don't realize is the reason it's used in gambling luck is that it's made to tie down the devil so that you are lucky when you,
mm-hmm.
you know, are playing those games of chance. So it gets the meddler, so to speak, out of the way. So devil's shoestring was what we used quite a bit, or elements of protection and tying down in order to turn bad luck into good, because of this idea of having to remove that meddling influence that turned your luck into bad.
Yeah, that's
Ali,
cool.
One of the foot washes that I use, it has a devil's shoestring wrapped in white thread, put in a bottle of whiskey, fire whiskey, and a little bit of camphor in there. And so part of it is that they're supposed to take two shots of that and put it into their foot bath. And a lot of them will rub it on their hands too. So
mm-hmm.
I remember growing up, and my grandma, we never were allowed to have alcohol in the house, but she did have that. So whenever
mm-hmm.
there was something going on and she felt like somebody had tossed a trick, then we would have to wash our hands and our feet in that.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was taught to drink it. The whiskey with a little devil shoestring bound up and tied up in it, just to drink it, to, you know, again, to get rid of any devils or any bad things that came at you. Now, another one that I was taught for good luck, in other words, when you've had bad luck and you want to turn that luck around, and you mentioned foot baths, that reminded me of foot tracks. And one of the things that we were told to do when I was young was to turn a person's foot track. If a person has their, they've stepped in dirt, you could even spread dirt out where they could step in it, you can take a spatula and scrape up their foot and then footprint and then turn it. You turn it heel for toe. And that could be used to get customers to come back to a shop. Again, this had to do with not making any money the day before and you need some returning customers. And even if you couldn't see the foot tracks, if there was any kind of little dirt or dust around, people would take and scrape with a spatula and then just flip the foot track dirt
mm-hmm.
dust back, come back to the shop and spend some more money. And then wash with Van Van, come on in, you know.
I have a couple of clients that really, they love this. I'll load a buckeye, and when they've had a run of bad luck, they take the buckeye and they basically rub it all over their body like you would an egg cleanse, and then they toss it over their left shoulder. And
mm-hmm.
I've even had a couple of poker players, and this one I'm thinking about had just a really horrible run of it. He was doing great in tournaments, and then something got all messed up. And he would take that buckeye and run it along the edge of the poker table up to where the dealer was at and back, where he, and you know, they change places whenever they're dealing, but anyway. So he would do this, and then he would go outside and throw it. And he did that for 7 days while he had tournaments going on, and then he turned right around and won $50,000, and I was so happy for him.
Hmm.
So
that's great. That's great.
It's a
so
really,
it's really
that,
used
a loaded
to,
Buckeye is a really great thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that.
That's really nice. That's a good one. Another old one to turn bad luck to good is Run, Devil, Run. This goes along with the idea of devil shoestrings, and Run, Devil, Run oil or any of those can be used, and it can be used to cleanse a place if you feel that bad spirits have gotten in. If you feel it's the evil eye that's gotten in, which is the eye of jealousy, there's a whole, you know, another whole nother show just on the evil
right.
eye and those charms. So we've talked about it before.
Well, several shows on that, actually.
Yeah, we've done several shows on the evil eye. But that is one of the leading causes of bad luck. Another cause of bad luck, and we've mentioned it on the show before, is that if you're gambling, if someone touches your hair, if you've been winning, they can steal your luck through your hair. And so people will pre-dress their hair with protection or something reversing, anything, something to turn it, the trick back to the person who tried it so they cannot steal your luck. Because every time you go into one of these bad luck situations, if you're not... You know, if you're not in bad with God and if you haven't done some horrible thing, there's usually a little cause. Like Flora said, there's some little cause. It can be astrological, like Ollie said in the chat room.
Yeah.
It can be an evil eye. It can be a, what I call the tides of luck. The tides come in, the tides go out. And when the tides go out, you need to hold your own until you can get the tides to come in. And then like a surfer, you just want to run that thing as far as you can up the beach while it's running in your direction. And so there are things that will change bad luck to good. And then as you feel the luck changing, that's when you're going to add on some of these, you know, super lucky things like fast luck, like good luck, like lucky number.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those things, black cat, yeah, all of those things, wealthy way, those are what happens. You kind of like breathe out and then you breathe back in again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That's
really
helpful.
You know, I had a friend that was
No, you go ahead, honey.
I had a friend who was a cooler for a casino for years, and so he was telling me some of the tricks of the trade that casinos actually will hire people that they know they have a big thing coming. They hire people who are very intuitive and can cool a room or cool a row of winning slots, that type of thing. And what the person does is you win, and they come up and they pat you on the back like three times and say, "What a great job," or "That was awesome, how cool." They'll say things like that, and when they do that, it kills your luck for the rest of the weekend.
That's
and
right.
So I really give a good visualization to my gambling clients to imagine that they have a big box around themselves of that 4 feet that we like as personal space, and I have them wear protection oil when they're headed in. I have a lot of them wear 7-Eleven oil, too, whenever they go into a casino where they're going to be playing close to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody touches them, I have a I used to have a set of beads that I would tell them to just pluck a bead off and throw it in the trash because then it'll absorb the impact of that person taking your luck. But the cooler was very interesting about how he would come to a table and the way he would lean in to distract someone, and he would make eye contact with them for more than 10 seconds and then walk away to take their luck. Very interesting. That's a whole other, that could be a whole other show too. But
yeah. Well,
that is
amazing. I'm going to just throw out a couple more lucky formulas for those who want to know them. Japanese Lucky Seven. The Japanese have seven luck gods and a goddess. I mean, she's one of them. Seven luck deities, we could call them, non-gender specific. And Japanese Lucky Seven is a Japanese formula. Algiers oil, Lucky Buddha, that comes out of Cantonese Chinese Hotei Buddha. Lady Luck, that's one that there used to be a casino called the Lady Luck Casino, but ladies like that Lady Luck oil. And I think we already mentioned a few of the others. Lucky number, lucky 13, and so forth. Fast luck. Fast luck is probably, of all the luck ones, fast luck is the most famous and the most beloved. And those are just luck as opposed to, you know, money drawing and things like that.
Yeah,
Papa Newt. Papa Newt. What a sweetheart. Papa Newt is, and Miss Tammy Lee, they're posting the links in the chat room just as fast as they can.
Oh, they're
Thank
so
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. You guys are great.
Flora
okay.
mentioned that great visualization that she does, and that sounds so wonderful. I offer a talisman, a protection work that I give to my clients, and something that I've done that both helps with gambling as well as ensures that if they are on a winning streak, that no one can kind of interfere and stop that winning streak. For from the conjure tradition that I come from, the idea of luck is that your natural state is lucky and that you need to protect it. Otherwise, when you get bad luck, it's an unnatural state that something's intervened. So a lot of our luck work involves around protecting that natural state, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the idea of devil's shoestring comes from. The other thing that I've done is I take a coin and I put it into a gator's claw. And I wrap very carefully the gator's claw around the coin and then use red string to tie it in there, making a cross with that, with the string. So it's tied into the gator's claw, and I feed that whiskey for 7 days and smoke it in good incense and then give it to my client to carry as a lucky talisman. And it's great because it protects your money when you are gambling so that you win and the poolers or people with the evil eye or anyone else can't come in and stop that particular winning streak or stop your luck. And it works great. I've done that in the past. And it's very easy to do. Just a silver dime or a coin put into a gator's claw that's tied, soaked in some whiskey, and given some incense.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I'm going to give one more shout out to Papa Newt. He found Lucky Hand, which we had forgot to mention.
and
Aunt Sally's Lucky Dream. Papa Newt is smoking hot. Okay. Well, we're going to have to move on to the next part of our show. But thanks for this. And Flora's going to come back later with a free spell for luck. So we're just going to hold her to that. That'll be later on at the end of the show. Now we're going to go to our readings. So we're going to let Miss Tammy Lee take it away.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mentor Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Flora of thegoodlucklady.com, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who will fill out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client, and our first client that is in our queue here is calling in from area code 707. This is Chrisley and just hang tight. I just had to refresh my screen here for one quick moment. There we go. Hi, Chrisley. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. And I'm just refreshing my screen. It just went out on me there for just a quick moment. So just hang tight. And you would prefer to be called Chrisley over Sea Woman. Is that correct?
It's Sea Woman.
No, Sea Woman. Sea Woman. Thank you.
Okay. Woman. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. Here we go. And this is, you are calling in. I'm sorry, you guys. It's the screen. Here we go. My marriage of 11 years seems to be dissolving. I'm just interested in whether the path I have currently chosen is the best choice. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to y'all.
All right. Well, sorry to hear about that. That's whether it's what you wanted or what you hated, it's going to be stressful no matter how it goes down. You understand, Sea Woman? It's what it is.
Yeah, a lot of stress.
Yeah. Well, may I ask a couple of questions before we do a reading for you? What is your sign of the zodiac, dear?
I'm a Virgo with the Cancer moon.
Cancer moon. Well, that's going to make it tough on you. And your partner, what sign is your partner?
Sagittarius.
Okay. Well, okay. Virgos and Sagittarius are both mutable. They do have a tendency to live through changes, but Cancer moon certainly loves the home. And that's where the pain is going to be. That's where the sentimentality is and the deep abiding faith and sensitivity. All right. So you want to know whether the path you've currently chosen is the best choice, but you're not going to tell us what that path is?
Well, I didn't want to get into a whole big long discussion about
Let's put it this way. Let me narrow it down. Is your path to try to fight to keep the marriage? Is your path to file for divorce and move on? What's your path?
Well, I have been trying to fight, but it seems hopeless. So I have people telling me that I need to go with the legal route. So started on that.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to look at the cards. What I'm going to do is a three-card cut. Well, first card is a card of the past, and this is a card that tells me there is problems, and it doesn't look very solvable to me. It's the Five of Wands, and this shows five people fighting with each other. It's a card of conflict, and it's a card of more than one. It's more than just you and him. There's a lot of other issues here, and it's a card that says someone's going to get hurt, but no one's going to die. I mean, Five of Wands doesn't kill anybody, but it's always a card of conflict and difficulty. The next card I have is the Ace of Swords. That's your friend saying, go the legal route, and I agree with them 100%. It is the Hand of God coming out of a cloud and holding a sword upright, and that is the Sword of Justice. And around that sword is a crown, and hanging from the crown there are two branches of plant matter. One is a palm, which is victory, and the other is an olive branch, which stands for compromise and suing for peace. So what I see here is that you will not get everything you want. Don't go in being, blustery tough. Do be prepared for a little bit of compromise, but you will have what you want. Unfortunately, this card of victory through legal or surgical means, this sword, is over a rocky landscape. It's cold comfort to you because it's not a warm, fuzzy landscape. But you will have some things will go your way somewhat if you do take that legal route, and that is something that should be considered. And the third card here is a card that is the card of the future. And this is a card that is a very nice card. It's the Queen of Wands. And this would not naturally be your significator card, but it is a card that is a queen. And it says to me that you will resume your position as a dignified person once this thing is over. She learns a lot from her landscape, half gold, half silver. She learns about dark and light in this card. She has a sunflower, which shows that basically you're an optimist, and you turn toward the sun, you turn toward light. You're not going to let this thing keep you down forever. She also has in front of her a little black cat, which is very angry. It's like videos of angry cats that you see at Facebook. It's hissing. it's angry cat.
Right.
Defend yourself, baby. That's what that says. Defend yourself, and you are capable of it. Okay. She has lions around her, too. So you may need some fiery friends to help, but you should defend yourself in this situation. You will land on your feet like a cat. Okay, that's my reading on it. Yeah. Let's see what Flora has to say.
I laid a set of runes out, a set of bone runes, and the very first thing that comes up is that you need to invest in a very good attorney, that this may be hard for you, and it might be, it's like, oh, I don't know that I really want to part with that money, but you need someone who is an eloquent speaker that will fight like a bulldog for you in court and make your partner pay. Because what's happened is it just looks very clear that they have just, your partner's just ding-donged at you over the years and berated you in such a way, especially in this last part, but it's really affected your personal strength and your personal health. To the point that you're so stressed out, you can't think straight, and you can't get clarity about what you're supposed to do next. And it's putting you in this path of depression, and it's really hard to pull out of that when it happens. And sometimes it just makes you so sad and so heavy in the heart that you think, why should I even wake up today? I mean, that's very clear in here, but I see that absolutely turning around because I do see the light at the end of the tunnel here. There's this gorgeous room for Canals that's all about turning the tide and turning things around and shedding light. And I call it God's light, putting God's light on your path. Ask for the house. Ask for the possessions. You're going to try, they're psychically, they're going to tell you, you're going to think, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should stick up for myself like that. But you absolutely should. Step into that extra power that you have. And I also see that you need to protect yourself. See if you can get someone to do fiery wall of protection for you, because you've got to focus on the goals of what you want this outcome to be. See if you can get someone to do that for you. And what will happen in the return is that your luck will stay intact. You'll get what you asked for in court, and I see you having a big victory in the end. You made the right decision to follow the legal path. Don't doubt
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Ollie, what kind of root work can you prescribe?
You know, in something like this, divorce, especially one that's going into the court system, or that's going to have to deal with legalistic aspects of dividing property and assets and things like that, I always suggest that the mm-hmm. first route is actually one of amelioration and sweetening. It's easier to get someone to pay up when they're sweetened to you. It's a little bit harder when you've beaten them over the head with a stick. Now, that doesn't mean you need to roll over and take whatever he throws at you. You start off with sweetening, and then should he fail to follow through is when you start to get a little bit more aggressive. I also see that in both the Queen of Wands and the Ace of Swords. It's this kind of two-bladed or double-bladed approach, this idea of you work first for sweetening, and then when it doesn't come through, then you start to get a little bit more aggressive by putting him in a freezer and halting his abilities to try to interfere or work against you. But first, what I would suggest is a honey jar aimed specifically at getting him to pay up. The idea is that though you two are going your separate ways and you are separating and you are getting a divorce, you two will have a relationship still, even if that relationship is just a formality, is just a financial one, where he is dividing up assets or paying a support of some sort. That's you transitioning into the next stage. It's no longer a romantic one, but perhaps what can be termed as a casual business arrangement or a legal arrangement. And so you want to smooth that transition out. And what I would recommend is placing him in a honey jar, but a honey jar specifically aimed at getting him pay up. So you want to include elements of money and elements of compelling. Add a little bit of calamus. Calamus is great to compel someone to follow through on their debts, follow through on their obligations, to follow through to make sure that they're paying up. You want to put in five-finger brass that he pays with all five of his fingers, and then with all five of your fingers, you get the money. You want to put in their cinnamon. You want to put in their... There are all sorts of things aimed at bringing in that money. I would include a small lodestone grit that you have sprinkled a little bit of magnetic sand on. I would absolutely include also two protective elements that I always put in any type of money work, alfalfa and alkanet, and that is to ensure that the money doesn't get jinxed, that the money isn't stolen, that the money isn't hidden, and that the money doesn't get interfered with. So you would combine this all into a beautiful honey jar, and you're going to light pay me candles on there, pay me now candles, right on top of that, and the idea being that you're going to compel this man in a sweet and gentle manner, but with enough compelling elements in there to start paying up. And that's going to be your first step. That's your first step. Then you want to do things aimed towards turning the legal system to your favor. For example, if this is going before a judge or a mediator, you want to put them in a honey jar, in a court-based honey jar, to get them favorable towards you so that whatever outcome it is, they side with you. You want to carry a court case mojo with you at all times so that you, and you can purchase this directly from Lucky Mojo. They have some great mojos that they can make for you. You carry a court case mojo bag, and that will ensure that as long as you carry it with you, as long as you are faithful to that, it is your spiritual ally that will work on your behalf to aid the court case and dust all the papers with court case powders. Any paper that is going to be turned in, you need to dust that. Should he decide to become a little more aggressive, let's say he starts using delaying tactics, let's say he starts dragging his feet, he starts doing all sorts of tactics to avoid the responsibility that he's supposed to have, that's when you take a little bit harsher of a route. Let your attorney be your warrior at first while you do the kind of sweetening element, and then if you find that it's not going well, that it's going a little bit slow, that's when you go, okay, that's it. Now let's pull the gloves off and start to really work this from a different angle. I would then put him into a freezer jar to stop his tongue from, you know, trying to work this case into circles, stop him from, you know, trying to interfere and keep from paying, while you ensure that you're still doing work aimed at getting money towards you. The idea being that now that this is going in this direction, the aim should be all about making sure that you are financially taken care of. That's the first and most important thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So you
if you're
going to
do it, when?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. 100% true.
Okay.
All right. Well, yep. I have one more little thing to add before we go, which is this. I know with that moon in Cancer, there's some sorrow and regret here. Take care of yourself emotionally, too. You just talked to a couple of Tauruses who are just going to, you know, say, get the money, get the money, get the money, which is true. I mean, that's part of it. But that moon in Cancer does need to be taken care of. So make sure that you do some things to indulge your spirit and heal your spirit. And those things should include water, bathing, go to a spa even, you know. Do something that is that puts you in touch with the moon and with water and strengthens that. Because the beauty of the moon in Cancer is it's touching sensitivity. Its weakness is tears. And we want to make sure that you have a good smile on your face when you come out of this, okay?
And the other thing about that
all
is
right,
if you have a moon in Cancer, sometimes you don't want to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Don't be afraid to go
that,
out
that
and get
seems
help.
Like,
yeah.
That seems like what's
I understand.
It's really tearing me up, but, you know.
Well, you know,
all right,
you...
Well, thank you so much for all your efforts.
Yeah, well, good luck to you. And someone just posted, Papa Newt said, spa day. Have a spa day.
Spa day.
And Doc Murphy said, bubble bath. Okay, and the Purple Hippie said spa, and Lucky Mojo Curio Company, Monagashiva said she's near the ocean. Oh, my gosh. He said she's in Grayton.
It's pretty cold up here.
You're in Grayton. Hey, canoe the Russian River.
Yeah, pretty.
Canoe the Russian
River.
There you go.
That's not as cold.
Yeah, all right.
Alrighty.
All right. Calistoga.
Well,
go to Calistoga.
So
go to Calistoga and go to one of the day spas there and get the mud. Just scrub yourself with that mud. All y'all in Northern California know what I'm talking about. Calistoga, mud. You'll feel so much better. All right?
Okay.
Good luck.
Good
luck to you, sweetheart. All right. All right. Let's
turn
back over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to get us our next caller, and we're going to see where this one goes.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at rootersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 323 from Los Angeles, California. This is Family Man. Family Man, are you there, caller?
I'm here. Are you there?
I sure am. Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host. Oh, hi. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that that you have not and did not indicate that you had gone to a member of AIR before, but you did, however, go to a reader, okay, back in 2012. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your case for our host, okay? And he writes, last year from out of nowhere, my wife told me that our marriage was over. She stated that partying with her new friends from work and just she started partying from her new friends from work and just left me with the kids. Our five-year-old and my stepson, which is her son, she met someone else and had an affair. Nothing has gone well for her, and now she has calmed down but feels that she has done too much damage to try to repair our marriage. And I'm
all
just
right.
Going to turn it back
so,
to you.
Okay, Family Guy, we didn't hear a question here. I understand what happened. What is your question?
The question is, is there any way or anything I could do about reconciliation?
All right. All right. So she says it's gone too far. She cannot repair the marriage. You're still hoping for it to be repaired, even though she abandoned you with the children, including her child, and went out partying and met somebody else and had an affair and all that, but you're still willing to you know, stand by her. That's the deal?
Yeah, we had a 9-year marriage, and
right.
She flipped out on me for approximately 8 months, and now everything's gone bad for her in her life. I mean, she's wanted to make a turnaround, but she just feels she's done too much damage.
All right. All righty. Okay, well, we're going to have, this one's going to start with Ali doing the first reading.
Certainly. Family man, if you don't mind me asking, do you currently work?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. That's very good. It's going to be essential here. The reason I say this is because when I'm looking into my carnelian ring and I'm doing a little bit of scrying in this situation, there is a little bit of resentment that she hasn't expressed towards you, or maybe she has, but I am getting a sense here, looking into it, that she is a bit resentful towards the situation with you. It's almost as if she feels that you've held her back by having this new group of friends, by having these kind of new opportunities for her, as terrible as it was that she had an affair, as terrible as it was that, you know, she did all these things to you, she still, on her end, feels as if you somehow were the cause of it. She's not blaming you directly, but she's saying that you have kind of held her back to a certain extent. By being with you, she has been held back. And now she's gotten this taste of something else, and that temptation is going to be very strong. So this combination of temptation as well as resentment is the real cause of her saying, I don't know if this is going to work out. When people say too much damage has been done, I don't know if it can be repaired, they're speaking from a place of guilt, but there's more going on there. Because should she want to reconcile with you, should she want to get back together with you and fix things, she would make an effort. She could do so. Looking at my carnelian ring, the image that I see is unfortunately a band that is broken. This is the band of marriage. And it does tell me that at the moment, your chances aren't good. But there is a very strong chance that marriage is going to dissolve because effort on one end is very difficult. To keep a marriage, when there's effort only on one end, it's very difficult to keep a relationship going, especially at this level. Now, that doesn't mean she's entirely closed. I do see that she keeps looking back, meaning that there is some second guessing there. There is some part of her that is afraid to let it all go. There is some part of her that is worried of the consequences of what would happen if she takes into that leap into her temptation. What would happen? Is it the right decision for her? Be aware that there is something there that you can use to your advantage. Her second-guessing and her doubting of her new life is something that you can use to draw her back. But as things stand, your chances of drawing this woman back into you are not looking good. The odds are against you, but I would still recommend to play those odds because there's enough there that if you, you know, add a little bit of root work to this situation, you may just pull a fast one. But be careful that there is a lot more going on here than simply her feeling guilty about this. This does stem from a feeling of resentment on her end, a resentment of kind of where the relationship is headed and how it's kept her from opportunities, kept her from having fun, kept her from exploring and experimenting in a new world. In her mind, it's all about temptation and resentment. Those two things are a lethal combination. And you're going to have to address those if you're going to resolve this situation, okay?
All right.
Okay. I'm going to do a little quick bone reading. Let's just take a handful of my bones and throw them. So I just close my eyes and grab into the pile, and what I get is what I got. Okay. So what I got here is kind of weird. I have an abalone shell. Face down. That usually represents a woman. That would be her. This abalone shell is often, in my readings, it's face up and there's things inside of it. This time it's face down. and it's covering a little pile of bones. So in order to even read those bones, I've got to pick the abalone shell up. It is completely covering them, or mostly covering them. What is underneath that abalone shell? Now, that is a woman who's turned away from you. She's not in a receptive mood. In other words, the abalone shell, upside down. It's showing its rough side, not its open, you know, shiny, beautiful side. What's in here? Boy, oh boy. So what I have here is a skunk vertebrae. In other words, stinks like skunk. It's a from a skunk. I have a that tells me something's off. You know what I mean? Literally off here. I have a doll's hand, and this is a doll's hand that is making a pushing away gesture, and it is pushing away at a dog's ankle bone. It's like trying to push the dog's ankle bone away from the center. When dog's ankle bone means loyalty. And this goes along with what Conjurman Ali said. She is resentful and is trying to deform, deface, reject your loyalty. There is also a weasel jawbone here, and it's kind of wrapped around all of these on top of this little pile. And that is gossip and bad talk. She is not only saying that she's done damage, she knows she's done damage. She's talked about you behind your back and made this thing worse. And she's afraid it'll come back to you. She knows what she's done wrong. And then, also in this pile, is a little coyote claw. That means, you know, something is grabbing at her, wounding her. She's wounded. She's done some bad here, not so good. Now, there's that little pile, like I said, covered by the abalone shell. There's one thing kind of peeking out from under that, is that dog ankle bone. And next to it, they're not covered, is a little bell. Bell is a little bell like that, and it means wake up. And so your loyalty kind of shines forth from out of this pile. And if you can wake her up, that's your only chance. But it doesn't look too good because she's basically turned and covered a lot of things that she doesn't want you to know about. The things she's done, the way she has spoken ill of you, the stinky thing she's done. Not very good reading for saving this. But that don't mean you're not going to try, because you are going to try. But I'm just telling you, what your trial is going to be based on is your loyalty, and that is very obvious. All right, let's turn this over to Flora and see if she can come up with some root work that you can do.
Hi, Family Guy. What I pulled, as they were talking, I pulled some angel cards, and I saw that you believe that you are a place of healing for her and that you're this anchor of healing for her. And I also got the same outcome that she has this resentment. So if it were me, this is what I would do in this situation. I think I would do a doll baby on her to help clear her mind. Clear her mind, if you really want her to come back to you, of what she's done. I picked up on lies and that her integrity is not sound and that her lies would come back to the children, not to you. And so you're going to need to decide, do you want to put these children in a situation where they're going to hear these lies about your family, that you're the person who is the anchor for everybody in this and keeping them stable in a happy home. Is her lying and her lack of integrity going to come in and really disrupt your home again? And you need to establish some boundaries with her about that and protect your family as well. But I do believe I would do a doll baby on her to clear her mind and to bind her to her word. If she says that she's going to come back and that she's willing to work it out, then she's bound to it. But if she says that she's not and she isn't going to do that, then I would say let her go, because you don't want to bring that type of element into your family, especially if you have small children. So I would work a doll baby on her, and I would keep it really close at hand. I wouldn't, and I would work it often, like every week I would do something for her. And I would, my doll baby would be, the core of it would be Spanish moss so that I could kind of control the situation. And I would put a positive picture of myself and the person that you love, you know, right next to her, so that that doll baby has to look at it every day. And I would put a cornmeal ring around it so that they have to be there. And I would keep a candle lit or a small love oil lamp lit to keep that fire burning. If you really want her to come back and you want her to remember what was good and you want her to be attracted to that light. But I'm going to tell you she won't be attracted to that light very long, because it's just going to take one more really fun, bright, shiny plaything, and she will leave. And then you'll be stuck again trying to figure out what to do next. So the very first card pulled had to do with healing. And maybe it's that you need to spend some time and heal what's going on with your heart and how betrayed that you may feel from this.
I'm gonna throw out something else on account of that healing and that wake-up car bell that I got. You said she went off and was partying, had an affair. Has she been a drinker before, or a weed smoker or something?
She used to drink, not a lot, but she used to drink. When we were together, she probably drank before when we were dating. We used to go to bars and stuff, but then we calmed down and you know, made a family.
So this is part of what happened is she probably has a genetic predisposition toward alcoholism. And I'm getting that. So what I'm seeing with that little bell, that little wake up, that always says to me, see if she will go into a program such as AA. If she will, then her statement about how she's done too much damage will be soothed and obviated away by the 12 steps, which do provide for her asking forgiveness and making reparations insofar as she's able. And I do know many marriages that have been saved through AA, if it's possible. If not, Flora is probably right on the money. She will fall back again. In other words,
and if she does go into AA and you have that doll baby, put the AA chips around her when she makes her 30 days. Keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
And that encourages and empowers her to keep going. It's not such a heavy binding then.
You should also be aware that there is the idea of fallback here also indicates, and this is something that I picked up, that there is a chance that this affair is not entirely over. And while she may feel guilty about it, the temptation is still enough, because the balance between resentment and temptation is so strong. There is a chance that she may once again seek comfort elsewhere. This idea almost of escape is what's going on here. Now, I'm going to speak to you, I generally don't say something along these lines, because I myself am a very gentle man, but you do need to take a bit of a firmer approach with her. Because there's almost a sense of you coming off emasculated is what she's perceiving. Now, that may not be true. You may be a very masculine man. But what she's perceiving, this resentment, is coming from the fact that she doesn't feel like you can be the guy that she wants. So there needs to be this combination of starting fresh and healing, but you also have to work an element of attraction again, of seduction. You need to kind of become the man that she is tempted. Okay? Being a good family man is working well for you and for your kids, and you've done the right thing. But if you want to save your marriage, there does need to be another element there. She needs to see another side to you. The side to you that is firm, the side of you that is decisive. Now, I'm not saying argue with it. Heavens no, that's the last thing on earth you need to do. But you do need to be a little bit more firm in your approach. It's either us or the family, or I'm ready to walk away. When she feels like you have other options, when she feels like you can walk away and that she will lose you, and again, I'm not saying an ultimatum, but once she gets that in her mind, she feels that, that's when it will help awaken her just a little bit more to the idea of what she'll actually be losing, okay? So I'm not talking about arguing. I'm not talking about ultimatums. I'm talking about the attitude you bring into this situation. If you come from a position of weakness, she's going to resent it. And there's a reason why I asked you at the beginning, do your work. Because the sense I got when I was looking into my carnelian was very clear. There was almost a sense of resentment towards you being less of a man, almost, not being able to handle this situation, not being able to even respond the way that she wanted you to respond. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you need to change the attitude that you approach this with. You need to be able to kind of say, yeah, I'm willing to work this out, but if you don't see the value in me, then I'm also ready to walk away. That's the mindset you need to come into this. When you can do that, when you can walk that fine line, that's when you can help wake her up a little bit to what she's going to lose. So be aware that there is that resentment with even the way you come off. And so you need to be careful about the attitude you bring into this.
And I just got to say, as a woman, I'm always a great believer in in compromise and helpfulness. And I always say, tell her, you know, let's walk this path together. That little dog influence of that, you know. So, but I think that Conjurman Ali has hit on something.
Yes.
Why people drink and why people party? There's so many reasons that start it. Once they get into it, it's a genetic issue and they can't get out. So you've got two things going on here, psychological and what we might call clinical medical. And it's a fine line. I really wish you luck. This is a hard one, honey. And certainly the angels love you for what you're doing, taking care of your stepchild too, you know.
I haven't done anything right.
I know. Well, you know, the thing is,
I told her, you know what, you want to go party, go party. I don't care.
Well,
you know,
sweetheart, that may be, you know, that's one thing. Now, that's Ollie, that's saying that's the hard end of it. I would also say to her, if you will get help, if you will get help and join AA, I'm willing to walk that walk with you. But stand up, rather than just shut the iron door forever, stand up on your hind legs and say, look, we can do this, but you've got to do your part, okay?
Yeah, you
be clear about your boundaries.
Be clear about your boundaries, says Flora. Yeah. That's really good.
Exactly.
All right. All right, hon. Well, I wish you all
thank
the
you.
Best. And, you know, certainly, like I said, God loves you and the angels love you for being such a good man. But, you know, alcoholism is a disease. They aren't kidding, okay? That's not just propaganda. It's true. Okay?
That's the truth.
That's the truth. All right.
Well, thank you.
So, you have to take some responsibility here for trying to help her as well as setting boundaries. I mean, it's a fine line. I wish you all the luck.
Until now, on your side, I haven't done anything. So I'm wondering if that was a mistake too.
Well, I would have been doing things all along. Flora's idea of a doll baby, love that doll baby, and also tell that doll baby it's got to do what it wants, what you want. Also, she mentioned pictures, photos of the family, and work those too. Cast off evil. I'm going to give you one more, and then we got to go. I'm going to give you one more real quick. Cast off evil. You can take cast off evil and mix it with whatever she uses, whether, like I tell people, it can be anything from cocaine to weed to wine. It doesn't matter. Mix it with cast off evil and make a big slop out of it. And take it to a graveyard and bury it and say, like, all her evil companions, all her evil habits, it all goes. And just bury it in a graveyard and say, now, let her come home clean and refreshed. And you can also, with a doll baby, you can baptize it and sprinkle a little holy water on it, too. All right, we got to move on, but I hope that was some good
thank
ideas.
You.
All right, and
it
we're gonna turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee. Take it
yes,
away,
ma'am, Miss Kat, and we have about 23 minutes remaining in today's show. But y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then call in during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. If your call is selected, you will get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday on Blog Talk Radio. Our next caller is calling in. This is Crazy Blue Eyes. Crazy Blue Eyes is calling in from Washington, D.C. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. And welcome to the show. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know a few things that are going on here. It indicates that you've had no readings from members of AIR. You've asked some questions on the forum, which is great. I'm going to go ahead and read this out. I've been unemployed for over 9 months, and I'm wondering what is keeping me from getting a permanent job, and will I get one? I lost my job and the love of my life in the same week. We had a great relationship, and I was truly happy. Even my mom had commented saying that she has not seen me that happy since I was a child. He is from Guatemala, and English is hard for him, and it's hard for him to communicate with me, but we make it work. There were times we had a lot of misunderstandings. We get to the point where we did tell each other that we loved each other all the time, and he would say, "Tu es mi vida, you are my life."
One day he decided that he didn't want a relationship. It was out of the blue. After the breakup, there were times that he hated me. A few weeks ago, he came over and we talked. He said that he didn't want me to cry anymore. He said, I want to be friends, but I don't have a lot of love for anyone. He said he was in a relationship with a girl and when he was a teenager, and she really broke his heart, and he cried for her every day. He doesn't want a broken heart, and again, doesn't want to be in love again. I do not know if he really did love me or why the sudden breakup, and what he's talking about now. Does he still love me is the question, or will he love me again? Question. Okay? Trying to get back over to you.
Okay. Well, you asked two questions, Colleen.
I did.
Crazy Blue Eyes, yeah. So the longer part, I recognize word for word as a question you had asked in the forum, and Miss Aida and others had commented there. The other question about losing your job and will you, what's keeping you from getting a permanent job and will you get one soon? So choose a question right now.
Well, let me go with the love question, I guess.
Okay, that keeps in theme with the show for today, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So the question is, did he really love you and why the sudden breakup and why is he talking to you now? All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first reader on this is going to be Flora.
Okay, so I'm throwing out some rings, Miss Blue Eyes. So the first thing, I see that the job and the boyfriend were a huge sucker punch to you, and it was very debilitating. And I see you, a lot of your judgment's clouded because you do need money right now, but you also need this relationship. And it's almost like it's your way out of balance in this.
Yeah.
The other thing that I pick up on is that the light that the two of you all shared is still there. He very much loved you while you were together. And your relationship reminds me of the relationship of my godmother and my godfather, because he was from Cuba and she was from New York City. And they didn't speak the same language, but they've been married for 50 years.
Wow.
They made it work. And I see you all making it work. Now, the thing about this is I think that he had this perception that you would immediately take him in and that you would immediately establish a home for him or some kind of stability for him. In his mind, he still has this woman in the background. And, you know, I don't think that he so much wants her or wants to be in a relationship with her, but he loves her. It's almost like she's an addiction and he can't get over her. And I'm having to wonder if way back when they first met or they were in this cycle of relationship together, if she didn't put something on him to make him want her all the time, because that's what I'm picking up on. And so I'm wondering if, you know, do you know if he or any of his family practices any type of magical work or they would be inclined to do something like that?
I don't believe so. I wrote an email to his mother. His mother still thought we were in a relationship 6 months after we broke up. His mother, yeah, his mother loves me, and she was like, I'll pray for you guys to be back together. She's, you know, I mean, she still thought we were together. So, I mean, as far as anybody else, I don't know. I mean,
well, what Flora's talking about is the other lady. So let's not.
I don't know
mother.
The other lady. I know it was when he was a teenager. So
Okay. So this is a long-standing relationship.
I'm going to second Flora on this. That there is a very strong possibility because of his irrationality, and I know from talking to you in the forum that you're kind of unfamiliar with some of this stuff. But what he is a condition called confused in mind. In other words, he didn't know why he did it. He got done. And Flora has hit it on the head. Usually it's because something was done to him. Okay.
Right.
Sorry, I just had to butt in on that one. But go ahead, Flora.
Well, if he's gone back, if he even stepped foot in the same area where she lived, ate food from her, or even got a letter from her that he's touched, that's connected him back home. It's put the strands back into him like little claws that she still wants him. It's made his spirit very untranquil. He has to think about her. It's not anything that you did from what it looks
uh-huh.
like. But he's got these ideas in his head now that he needs you to be the stable person, and he knows that you are, that you're the right person for him, but he can't help himself. So it sounds like he needs to have some cleansing work done on him. There needs to be some candles done on this relationship, and this other woman needs to go. So
okay.
I would, I would just cut them apart, and I would have some spell work done to do that, but I totally pick up on it. The outcome is that the two of you are going to come back together, but in a different light, that there will be a different light because, one, you have trust issues now with him, but you can heal those. The other part about that is that he really wants to seek out the stability that you offer him, and he's willing to go the distance if he can just get over this love sickness that he has of this other woman. That's what I pick up on.
Yeah. Well,
Let's let Ollie have his say, okay? Ollie, can you read here?
Yeah, I certainly can. Looking into this, I've done a geomantic reading. I can tell you that, yeah, he certainly does feel bound to this other woman in a certain way. We have Parsha that shows up as the right witness, the past that kind of comes into this. But it's not necessarily, a binding in the strictest sense. What has happened is he's built this person up, and this person has become his ideal, and she reminds him of his past, she reminds him of a better time, she reminds him of all the good things kind of in his life. She's become associated with that. And so now you're struggling not just against the literal person, but you're struggling against the very idea of a person, and that is very hard to do. It's one thing to remove a rival, it's another thing to remove a fantasy, okay? And that's
right.
The issue here. Is that you're facing a fantasy, you're facing this idea of another woman that is very, very dangerous. I do agree with Flora that you two will likely reconnect again. I, however, will go further in my geomancy reading says that I do not foresee you two getting back together as lovers anytime soon. When I look into the seventh house, we have Fortuna Minor. Fortuna Minor is a little fortune, and it is fortune going out, indicating that, yes, there is going to be a reconnection of some sort. However, it is not a resolution or a move into a serious relationship. More than likely, what will happen is that there's a chance that you two will get back together and have a really strong heart-to-heart. You guys will have many conversations. A friendship of sorts may develop. However, a love relationship does not seem likely at this particular point in time. The other thing for me, the hidden factor here, looking at the projection of points, that tells us what's going on behind the scenes that no one else has been able to see. That's the eighth house, and that's Rubius. There's an issue with his ancestors. While his mom may be perfectly happy with him and praying for you and him to kind of get back together, there are others in his ancestral line that are not particularly pleased with this relationship, not particularly pleased with the way he's going. In this relationship, and there are going to be a problem between you and him. There is a magical component here. There is a spiritual component that will resist your attempts at drawing this man into a relationship. And this is something that you will have to recognize. When we talk about the ancestors, we often talk about the good ancestors, but not all ancestors are good. Not all ancestors are easygoing. Some of them are demanding. Some of them are bigoted. And that is what's going on in this situation. His ancestral line is rebelling to a certain degree. Rubius in the eighth house is a rebellion from the land of the dead that is working against this relationship, and it is going to be a serious problem. If his ancestors, if his entire line is rebelling, in addition to his own psychological conflict, that trap of Carcer, it all indicates why Fortuna Minor is in the seventh house, why you two may reconcile in terms of friendship, but why it will not progress into a serious relationship at this point in time. I'm sorry to say that I just don't see him coming back to you at this point. He will be friends. He will kind of try to reconnect, but I don't see you guys getting back together.
Lady,
we're going to go to the root work portion. You gotta play with us, okay? Thank you.
Okay.
Nagashiva, just if we have to, can we just mute her? Because I want to get her what she's called for, but she keeps talking. In your post to the forum, you had mentioned burning a Follow Me Boy candle, and it had burned slow, and it had an unburned ring of wax at the bottom, and you'd asked about that. An unburned ring of wax indicates things from the past that have not yet been resolved. Something wax that's unburned means an unresolved issue. So we are seeing that there are unresolved issues, and these are going to lead to a problem. Now, what I would recommend that you do is what Flora mentioned, break them apart because there is no way for you to just get him back by doing a love me, love me, love me. That's not going to work. The signs in the candles that you already posted in the forum show that it's not going to work. I know that you have been running through the forum and you have been posting one question after another. I suggest, and also the way you're talking on this radio show, you need a coach. You need a magical coach or a guide. It's not expensive. Hire someone to work with you on these spells because you are jumping in different directions and you're not using magic to your advantage is what I'm saying. You could, but you're not. Now, there are things that you can do to remind him of sweetness, but I'm thinking that what Flora saw and what Ollie saw and what you yourself saw in the candle but didn't know enough to know that that's what you saw, this other lady did put something on him way in the past, and he is still kind of circling the drain on that one. And until that is over, you will not get him. So breakup spells are what the next thing in your thing. And even, you might say, even a breakup with someone from the past that he's no longer with, it's called a cut and clear or a breakup. He's got to be driven apart from that person who represents whatever she did. When someone is so hurt, they can be what we call love-crossed, and there are things that can be done to uncross them. Ollie always recommends heart's ease, pansy, or violet leaf to dress a candle. And so you might want to do a moving candle spell in which you actually move a figural candle of him away from a figural candle of her and toward a figural candle of you. You can look it up on the forum. They're called moving candle spells, figural moving candle spells. But given your level of understanding and practice and your inability to read candles, signs and things like that, I think you should sign up with someone. It could be me, it could be Ollie, it could be Flora. Somebody who, Deacon Millett is great for reconciliation. He loves it. Someone who will give you a 10-minute or half hour every week or two to walk you through, talk you through the kind of work you should be doing. You need a coach because you're a little bit at loose ends here, okay? I'm not saying you're going to win. Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to win. I'm not saying that you need to hire a root worker $450 or $1,000 because I think you do have some magical talents. But you just came into this kind of at that moment of desperation, and now it's time for you to kind of, you know, stake your stake in the ground and just like, hey, I'm working from this point onward. But you need a helper. A lot of us have been doing this work for 40, 50 years, and we're willing to help, okay?
Mm-hmm. The coach All right, is also, sweetheart. From a psychological point of view, and I just want to throw this out there, is, and I think the caller's muted, so she can't respond to this, but I wanted to talk to her and tell her, you know, hopefully you can still hear us. You're a little bit all over the place, and emotionally, you're also getting frustrated, and I see you almost spiritually pacing back and forth. I mean, just on the forum alone, on the radio show thread, you're demanding why your calls haven't been taken, and you're getting frustrated, and you're getting upset, and you're posting all over the place. That's not the place you want to work from. You want to take a deep breath and go, you can't be sitting there and yelling at your pink candles, why aren't you sweet to me? It doesn't work that way, honey.
No, I understand it.
You got to take a deep breath and you got to go, okay, we got to draw him back sweetly, because if you become overbearing in your work, that's going to rub off, and spiritually it's going to force him to run away even further. At, you know, that rebellion element. And be sure to get a coach and mention the ancestral element as well so you guys can work with that as well. But I do recommend a coach because just from a psychological point of view, it can help you calm down and feel like you're not alone. Someone's holding your hand and guiding you through this situation, okay?
Okay, good. Thank you, Ollie. And I'm going to just say one more thing and then I'll let it go. Focus and intention are a great part of magical work. And for some people, they call it meditation. For other people, they call it willpower. I think they probably have different kind of brains. For me, it's willpower. For other people, it's meditation.
For me as well.
Right. But you need to do whatever it is you do to get yourself into that calm state so that you can actually cast an effective spell.
Mm-hmm.
And a coach will help you and will... We do this all the time, and it's most of us don't charge all that much more for it than we would for a reading. Be sure that you get someone who will allow you to record the session and or take notes or do it through Skype, however you want to. There are many of us, Madam Nadia, Miss Michael, these people are all sitting there in the chat room, and they will do coaching. Okay? All right. Good luck to you. All righty, we're going to go to our free spell, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and we have approximately 6 minutes left in our show here, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubber Color is hosted each week by Conjurement Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And now I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our special guest joining us from air this evening. This is Flora of the GoodLuckLady.com in Oklahoma. Flora, turning it over to you.
All right,
okay,
what's
so
our lucky spell?
It's a luck spell, but it's luck in court. So
okay.
I've got a lot of folks going to court. So what I have suggested that they do is, and most of these people are the defendants, they get a list of the people who are going to be speaking on the side of the, for the DA, basically, the district attorney, or for the person who is suing them in court. Whoever's speaking against you, you take the list, you write their name backwards in red pen on a brown piece of paper. So you're going to need a red pen, a brown piece of paper torn around the edges is how I've always done it. And you're going to also need some powdered cloves, just straight out of your kitchen cabinet. I know this is the season where we're starting to buy spices for Thanksgiving, so it should be in there. If not, it's pretty easy to find at the grocery store, and it's not super expensive. So you'll write each one of those witnesses or each one of the people who are going to speak against you in court, write their name backwards. I prefer to write it from right to left, all across the piece of paper, and then I turn it counterclockwise, and I write shut your mouth across it. Then I sprinkle cloves all over it and rub it into that brown paper bag. That's where I usually get my brown paper. I tear a bag up. Anyway, then you take it outside, and with a knife, out of a sharp knife out of your kitchen, you drive that knife through the paper and into the ground, and you leave it there until your court case is done. What this does, it flubs up the person that's going to be speaking against you in court. It shows that you have more eloquence than they do about the situation. It lets your attorney sound more eloquent and ready to speak on your behalf. You can even put the attorney that's speaking against you's name on that piece of paper. It's a befuddling, and it's also it's a behavior modification, is the way my grandma would call it. It makes their tongue burn when they speak against you, and it makes them feel as if they have cuts upon their tongue so they can't speak properly about the case. So the review is write their name in red across the brown paper, usually from right to left, rub in some cloves powder or powdered cloves, then take a knife from your kitchen and drive the knife through the paper and into the ground. It will help change your luck in court and make you look like the luckiest person around. So that's
wonderful
for today.
Thank you so much, Flora. That's a great one.
All
right. Yeah. All right, Miss
Tammy.
Thank
you all for having me on. I had a lot of fun today.
Miss Tammy Lee, take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ali. And thank you, Flora, of the GoodLuckLady.com in Oklahoma. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Forestville, California. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurement Ali at conjurementali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from triplecrownconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and inviting in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Flora, for being a guest with us. We want to have you on again.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a spring equinox this year when I was on last, and here we come fall equinox.
Oh, well, look at you, every 6 months. Well, we'll look for you again next spring when the roses bloom again.
Okay. Hey, you guys have a good week,
you can come on in winter. You can come on in winter if you want to, baby. We don't mind, even though your name is Flora.
Okay.
All right.
Holly,
all
it
right.
was good to talk to you. You guys have
okay.
a good day. Bye.
All right. We'll be on the chat room for a few more minutes, and you, Laura, might stick around also. Thank you, Conjurman Ollie. And
a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you. All y'all, be sure to tell your friends that they can get free answers and all the kinds of information they want at the Lucky Mojo Forum, and that they can tune into this radio show. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. You all were splendid, especially Pop and Newt, just pushing out those URLs just as fast as he could. All right. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Night.